A wonderful, marvelous word.
Yay!
Yes. Good, 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 good. Been worth your while today.
Worth my 10 bucks.
Yes.
Is it multiplied? You're going to eat it.
Okay. All right. Can I get a gauge? So far, so good? So far, so good? All right. Ready for more?
Yeah.
All right. No? No more? No mas. No mas. As the famous boxer said. No more. Okay, part three. Again, I apologize. I feel it's edgy sometimes when I start steering on time because I want the Holy Spirit to work. And so, but we're all doing very well on the time and as far as the presentations, so we may have a good amount of time at the end of the day. All right, here we go. Session, or part three. And the quote there is, where no not oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. That's Proverbs 14:4. Now you all know what that means, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have, you know, animals are dirty, they eat, and then they exit, right? And so, hey, in some days you're not feeling up to wanting to clean the mess, but you know you have to. Those of you who live on farms, or hey, I had a dog once too, and yes, I did a lot of picking up. So, okay, let's do the learning goals real quick. There's a tension between wanting to invite others. It's not going to be on your paper. It's going to be at the end of yours on this particular section. But the learning goals are there's a tension between wanting to invite others and build your church versus keeping it clean. Mm-hmm. We want people in, but what do?
Mess it up.
They do. And there's plenty of ministry to go around as a result. So, also, prophetic ministries are sometimes viewed as too messy to operate. Mm-hmm. Prophetic people need to live in a way that inspires confidence and respect. Prophetic mentoring is valuable. And again, I'm just going through learning goals real quick, and we'll get into the meat of this. Prophetic leaders are valuable, can be selected based on abilities and attributes. Prophetic groups are an excellent way to train and nurture. Sustaining a growth environment is vital. Sustaining the growth environment for the prophetic ministry, vital. And there's a larger need, or there's a need for governance whenever you get a group of people together. So for us, here I am taking the microphones and, okay, everybody, back to your seats, yada, yada, right? But we have to do it or else we'll be 11:45 before we get going again. And the church can borrow concepts and patterns that works for corporations in the military. What I'd like to do is, because this is not just a basic course, I'm actually speaking to the pastors and the leaders of the church that are here and also at the sound of my voice. And what I'm doing, folks, again, trust me, I am not saying you pastors, you church leaders, I'm not doing that. I'm not wagging a finger at you. What I'm doing is I'm just giving you, putting across an idea, right? Because sometimes we take ideas and we leave them in the area where they are born and are carried out. So we often don't draw from the military or the paramilitary or other corporate organizations. Sometimes we do, but a lot of times we don't. We don't borrow some of these things that can work. So again, it's just an idea. So, if you look in your on your paper, in the church, there's usually a tension between the desire for cleanness and the desire for a filled barn, because it's fruit. People are fruits. I know where you're going with that. Come on. Come on. Okay. Look in the bullets. Back on track. There's always going to be tensions in church life. And oxen, like people, create a mess, and they require attention and care. And sometimes prophetic people, let's be honest, they're seen as mess makers, right? They can be viewed as flaky, esoteric, unreliable, and their personal lives can be a mess. And there are eccentric personalities that operate in the prophetic. They have messy lives, but they can be accurate and valuable. Yes, they can. They not necessarily should be leading a group, but they have value. And hence the need for prophetic leadership. Other ministries can be messy, yes?
Yeah.
And there's reasons for oversight there. Outreach efforts bring in the unchurched, but then there has to be plans to grow them and get these people activated and moving. You don't want them to just sit there and get bored, right? And you have to choose what business your church is going to be in. And that is it going to be a rescue station or is it going to be a country club? And I'm not saying that to be, you know, I'm not wagging a finger. I'm just saying we talk about it at the Firestorm Leadership, you know, where are we ready? Can we accommodate? Can we shift and move? And we talk about these things. I will say that particular churches do have particular purposes.
Yes.
Yeah, as individuals do.
Yes.
They have specificity to their callings. And there's a need to find a balance that includes outreach, teaching, spiritual depth, and the full gospel. So the above bullets exemplify the reason why churches need many hands with its ministries. Many in a church are willing to engage and help with the efforts, and we have to find a way to see where people fit and deploy them accordingly. And there's some risk there. Because, okay, you start releasing people to do particular ministries in the spiritual dimensions, you got to be on it. You got to be in there. And I'm going to, again, put forth some ideas, right? Whether you're a group of 25 or 50 or 100 or 5,000, right? You're going to have to delegate. Bringing up people in Christ will involve struggle. Genesis 3:16, the childbearing. Nobody looks forward to the hardship and struggle every day. Nobody does that, right? Wake up and say, I'm ready to struggle again. Let's go to this wrestling match that I'm not really up for. Right? You ever get in there? You ever get in and play a hard knock game or a wrestling match with somebody and you're not up for it mentally? Man, it's not good. Right? So, it's more than just a calling. Again, we have to be deliberate and intentional with our decisions to live a life of full engagement and bringing people into the kingdom. That's why there needs to be a lot of full-time ministry out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the only answer, of course. I'm just putting out some ideas. But we have to choose to engage with this. And remember, let's go back to what 1 Corinthians and chapters 13 and 14. Desire to prophesy. You get people that are desirous to do things. Okay, you're going to get some people that are going to leap ahead. And they're going to take those risks. They're going to start doing it. I'm going to talk about that. Some things that to consider when that happens. Because it will happen. I've been there. Have lived that. Okay? And I would say the pastors and church leaders who are hearing my voice, you want to get out in front of that. So again, going to the bullets, you have to have vision to look beyond the struggle. You're engaging in that struggle, and it can be a challenge to bring people up in the Lord. But there are rewards and greater glories ahead. And people, this is the thing, 1 Corinthians 13, people are worth the investment.
Yeah.
Yes, they're worth it. Part of our mission as a prophetic people is to live in such a way that it inspires confidence and respect. And that involves holiness, a life of prayer and communion, a life of sacrifice, and a life where you can't be bought. Because again, the devil's going to want to buy you out. And are you open for that type of negotiation? You know, of course, today, when we're all here, and we're under the anointing, we say, well, of course not. But there's a day he comes around and he challenges. And there's a scripture in Hebrews encouraging us. And let's talk about the Northwest Prophetic Movement. I know there are groups and pockets of prophetic people around the Northwest. I know it. Some churches have a robust prophetic group and training, and some could be considered as dabblers or toe dippers. Now, I believe that the Pacific Northwest needs a greater movement where the prophetic is anointed, it's strong, it's reliable, and it's operated by capable and trusted saints. And I'm hoping and praying you're not here just for to pass the time, that you want to be part of this. And I'm not saying this will be your only ministry, and I'm not saying that this is the only thing in church life, but we need to see more of this.
Yeah.
And it needs to be powerful. And again, it's not just going to land on us. Once we understand the revelation and necessity of prophetic ministry, then we need to move with it. Lord, what's my place in it? Where would you like me to be? And that will be with deliberate and intentional purpose again. When I was preparing this, I don't have a lot of notes, as you see, but when I was preparing this, I felt a surge and a force from the Holy Spirit. And I was saying, Lord, what, is this something that you're giving me? Or what, you know, again, I'm trying to determine what it is. Why am I feeling this? And the Holy Spirit is ready to move with force into this dimension. He's ready to start pushing. Yes, he needs you to help with this. He wants you to help with this. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know who's going to lead. I just know it. He wants to do this. And it's not just that some church where you have to travel 20 miles. He wants it in a lot of places in the Pacific Northwest. Where I walk in a place and someone is like what Paul described, you know, the prophetic is active and it's operating and I'm receiving something. I said, wow, God is with you. Does that make sense? All right. Again, I just felt this energy and this surge. Because I think God is moving onto something. And again, I cannot tell you how it's going to happen. But I do believe it's going to happen. For a prophetic movement to happen, read the bullets, saints have to believe that it's important. Saints have to invest in it. Saints have to rally together to educate, build up, comfort, exhort each other. You taking it on yourself without support? No, don't do it. Get others with you. Prophetic saints and prophets. Prophets! Oh, must have a voice. They need to exercise and flex their muscles. We need prophets, and I mean the office of prophets, to arise and have their voices heard and start turning the hearts of the people and start changing the culture back to God.
Amen.
And it's going to demand a life of separation and holiness. The prophet's reward is God. And I love this scripture in the King James, Genesis 15:1. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. King James Version has made a comeback in my life, actually. Yeah, can you believe it? It's just one of my favorite verses. So Lord, let it be. Let it be.
Yeah.
Come and force.
Yeah.
And push. Push out those things that need to be pushed out. And Lord, to get those people engaged that need to be engaged. And Lord, let it be a movement. Let it be a movement starting in South King, in Pierce. And let it expand all through King County and the Pacific Northwest and the other counties and regions. Oof. Let's go to the need. There's a need for government and the prophetic ministry. And again, this is going to probably come out as a paramilitary type of context. But I understand, I trust that you'll be able to understand what I'm saying. And ask if there's a question. If the question is too big, we'll have to take it offline. But I mean, if it's a quick, you know, what did you mean here? We can do that quick. If you organize people for a mission and a purpose, you're going to need leadership in government, and you're not going to be able to get away from that. Nearly every human endeavor has leadership in some form of government, and without it, the mission and the effort can fall apart, and the purpose goes unmet and unfulfilled. God has government. The spiritual world has governments. And of course, there are human governments on earth. And I believe that some policies of heaven are governed by force. That's just an idea. You don't have to, you know, David said it, that type of thing. I'm not saying that you have to adopt it. It's an idea that I have. And then there's Matthew 26 to 53, when Jesus talked about the 12 legions of angels. And that is that. And during that time, the Roman army was a very strong, very professional army. And so people knew what he was talking about when he meant legions. And then Daniel 10:13, there was spiritual combat. So underneath the box there, there can be an anything goes mentality when it comes to the prophetic ministry. It needs to be done well, and it needs to be governed well. Especially when you get new people or young people involved in this. Because what do you have oftentimes? Like the oxen, you get some dirt, some cleanup that's necessary, engagement, and counseling, coaching, training. Right? You just can't let it run and it'll take care of itself. It won't. Amen. I've had experienced operators run afoul of the law. Right? And then, yes, they have to be brought back. Yeah, that's a cop term. But it's true. If you're organizing an effort, such as a conference or special session for a visiting group, you're going to have to organize. You're going to have a government. It doesn't mean that it's long-lasting, but having put things together, people know who you are and what you are trying to do, and they have to agree. Yeah. And then there's sometimes you have to say no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. Right or wrong? Looking at the bullets, the prophetic ministry is loaded. And it can bless or hurt. It's very powerful. But the thing is this, too. You have another thing to consider. You can say, okay, people, don't do prophetic ministry because you're making a mess and it's hurtful. And what you're doing, you're just saying, okay, deputy, officer, take off your gun belt, take off your weapons, and go fight crime. It's not going to work. So the thing is, what we have to balance and pull in is with the scriptural commands of taking on and doing, taking these tools on, and then using them correctly. And that involves coaching, counseling, training, and everything else, right? But you just can't say, okay, Holy Spirit, stop working.
Right.
No. There's many rewards and blessings, but there are pitfalls, and it requires us to walk carefully. But again, I would rather take the risk and walk carefully than go hide my bag, right? There's a need for leaders and mentors that can help guide and that can step up in that role. And they're needed out there. Again, I don't know how all this was unfold, but they're needed. People are needed. If you can take back an idea and say, let's give this a try. What do you think? Right? And maybe that's the spark. Maybe that's where a movement happens. No teaching or mentoring can mean slow progress and with many mistakes made and some critical. And the next thing, Paul wrote some governing principles for the church in Corinth. I would like to see this, though, too. If you look at the next bullet, Corinth had a lot of problems, right?
Yep.
If you take 1 Corinthians from beginning to end, kind of run through that, that's a tough book, right? And Paul was on them. It was the Corinth, if you examine what it was kind of like the Las Vegas of the ancient world. But if the Corinthians could have spiritual gifts and be taught, so can we. If Corinth can do it, we can do it. Now, some of the problems of Corinth was about immaturity. It was about carnality. It wasn't about the lack of spiritual power that was there, right? I mean, some things, I'm sure, it was amazing. People walking in, having prophetic words come up, right? So let's go below the box there. How am I doing on time, dear?
Good.
I do talk about mentoring there, and maybe I want to take this box. Let's talk about it. Mentoring is valuable. If you can find a mentor, extremely valuable, very helpful, it's gold. Now, there's one thing about mentoring. It's not like you're being subservient or being underneath that person in the chain of command from life. It doesn't work that way. There is a point in time where you leave your mentor, and then you are out there doing the ministry. The mentor is there for a time, right? That's the way it works. It works that way in the business world as well. So let's talk about who can lead. And again, talking about putting out some ideas. Now, as I said earlier, if and when a prophetic movement starts, it's best that the churches, the pastors, the leaders get in front of this ministry than to try to chase it. And again, if you're hearing me, maybe on tape, right? If you hear about it, get out in front of it. That's my advice. Mm-hmm. Pastors can lead effectively. It may be better to delegate, and it depends on the factors, the church, and who's there. But they can, yes. I don't need to cover Proverbs 14:4 again, do I? Did I already read that? Yeah. Then the bottom bullet, the next bullet, pastors and leaders don't sometimes like to delegate such a sensitive area, but it does give people opportunities to grow. You're going to give other leaders to opportunity to grow, to step into that and move into it. It really depends on what you have on your plate, pastors and leaders, as to who you can give it to or if you want to take this on yourself, but you can. And here's another thing. I want to jump ahead a little bit. You don't have to have the greatest gift or the strongest gift to lead.
Right.
No. Believe me, there have been a lot of people, some of them very eccentric, and they have a gift, but they need to be led, not to be the leader. Mm-hmm. And it's those leaders who have a good balance. They're grounded. They understand things. They have good discernment. They get along with people. They know how to organize. They can do all these things. Those are the people you want, right? And you can gauge accordingly. It's not like you have to take all these courses and sessions on leadership to how to identify people or tell them how to do it, right? That's not the idea here today. But again, what we're doing, we're going to borrow a little bit from the corporate world, military. It's likely that you can't do it all, pastor and leader. So delegate. And who is that person going to be? All right. So just an idea, because some of your churches are large, okay? Some of them are medium sized. But it's an idea there. You have to have a minister who has been fully blessed and crowned and given degrees and everything? I don't necessarily think so. Okay? So, again, it's just an idea. Okay, reading from the bullets again. Your leaders, what you do want them to have is a good grasp of the gifts, giftings, and the spiritual dimension. But appoint leaders that understand the anointing, the principles, again, can connect with people. And appoint leaders that are able to carefully and lovingly confront, because you will work correct. Because that's going to happen. And again, folks, we've had capable operators, and sometimes they do things that are, we cannot do that. We do it like this, all right, or make the correction. And it is adopting a mindset that is willing to give authority to others. Now, it's easier for the military or the paramilitary because you're going to have that and establish a chain of command and an organizational chart, but it can help. Now, what I do as a captain, I have sections. And those sections, supervisors report to me. I report to my chief, and oftentimes I give a report out. It's scheduled for twice a week, or, I'm sorry, not that. Once every 2 weeks, okay, just to keep, you know, so she can keep a track of what I'm doing, okay? It's as simple as that in a lot of cases. But we have to take that, okay, you know what, I need to change, because I've been in places where people were afraid to do that because they were afraid of the reactions and afraid of people wanting to leave and bolt and things like that, right? But again, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're going to have to take measures that start to organize your effort, all right? Or else you can go sideways. Does it make sense?
Yep.
Connecting?
Yep.
All right. Prophetic members have to decide to agree, cooperate, and follow well, not just do the things grudgingly. Teams require a greater degree of work and putting aside the needs of self. It's always the case. It doesn't matter what kind of team you have. That is always the case. Mistakes and error have to be corrected, and members must agree to being corrected, and it's never easy. But if you have that, things can operate so much better. And there's also a peer accountability as well, which is another topic, but it's important. It's the responsibility of the members to keep their flesh in check. And by giving honor, the Spirit can flow. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this focus is about effective ministry, not who's in charge. Okay? And that's important because a lot of people, they want to be that person in charge. I've got to be that. I believe God's called me. And it's like, just relax about that. Be a good operator. Be available. Make some good impacts out there. God will bless you. God will advance you if he sees fit. But don't be so quick, those of you who are hearing the sound of my voice, don't be so fast to want to jump in leadership. It's heavy sometimes. It's a heavy thing. You get responsible now for many more lives, right? And if you're running a particular operation or a particular event or conference, there's more things that you have to mind. And so these could be distractions as well. So you, as the individual, you want to get stronger in your personal ministry, your ability to deliver good prophetic words, and to be a good teammate. And being a valued and reliable player, that is really the crux of the matter. The supervisor sometimes, or the people that are leading the effort, are sometimes not even engaging. There were times that I organized an effort, I wasn't even engaging with people. I'm just keeping it organized and keeping it running smoothly, right? It's the people that are delivering the words and they're doing the ministry, they're the ones getting the real, I think, the real action. So, that's the other thing about it. You start going up the ranks of leadership in your culture, organization, you're out of the action. Now you're in the organization and where you gotta, it's more of an organ, you know, you gotta do the paperwork, you gotta do the administrative work, you gotta bring the people in just when they do something wrong, you gotta somehow get out there and try to tell them, hey, way to go, but you gotta find the time to do that, which is very hard, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's
so
true. It's true.
Where's the glory? Where's all the excitement? It's not. It's responsibility, and there's no fun.
Yeah.
I don't get to go.
Blamed when something goes wrong.
Yes, and we get the blame when something goes wrong. The manager gets fired. Coach gets fired. Yeah. So let's talk about some attributes of prophetic leading, prophetic leaders. Again, you don't have to have the strongest or greatest gift to lead effectively, but you do need to have wisdom, discernment. You're grounded and knowledgeable in the Word of God. Respect to the team members. And this may take some time to gain some traction. A new chief or new leader that gets installed there doesn't necessarily have that traction. and then authority and respect until, you know, time does its work. Good organization capabilities. You're capable of putting some things together, getting people to rally together. And you want to give that person a voice in church leadership. Right? So if I've got a person that is designated as my prophetic leader or leader of whatever department, I need to bring them into the table and do some kind of report out, right? Or bring them into our council or group, say, you know, welcome them in. And maybe they're not ordained. It's your call. But I'm just saying it can be done. A voice in church leadership, and then the next bullet, be able to communicate effectively in various settings, and you're going to have to be a diplomat. Next one, ability to establish and sustain a growth environment. This is key, because you want to have a culture in an environment where prophetic people are allowed to grow and can train and learn, again, without being slapped down and, you know, being brought low and or things like that. And folks, I can tell you stories of what happens out there in the ministries. You'd be amazed. Or maybe not.
Heartbroken.
Yeah, we're heartbroken, yes. When leading a prophetic group, think about it this way, like exercising the gifts like muscles. People who won't keep, again, we talked about this earlier, if you don't keep that edge sharpened, you're not going to grow, you're not going to accelerate. And it's very possible you're not going to get used that much. So stay engaged with the training, take the groups out for ministry, invite others, encourage the pastor to open a time or place for the prophetic to operate. You can, again, it's an idea. And we talk about different types of prophets, those who specialize. The answer is yes. We talked about the warnings, protocols, maybe coaching one day. And you can read this. You see how much more, yeah. We talked about the challenge of a growth environment. You can read that on your own. So I do want to bring this point, and that is borrowing from the military or corporate America. And so for those of you listening, the sound of my voice, the idea here is to borrow some things to organize your efforts. Put people in positions where they can be, where they can lead others, and then have them report to you or lead through them, right? So again, it's an idea. It's not hard, but it's a matter of choice and it's a matter of will to implement. There's nothing wrong with appointing leaders from within your ranks or from within your church. The church can borrow, again, we talked about that, borrow from other organizations to organize. And trust me, that leadership and direction will be needed. As with many things, there's always a risk with promoting people. Is this a bother? This microphone, is it working?
No, it's working.
Okay. You may need to coach and mentor the leader until they gain competence and traction. You want to pick those, though, this is important, where they fit the prophetic ministry and the people they lead. All right? And you don't want to do an odd fit there. So I don't need to explain that further. And if you've got a group there, someone's going to rise up. Someone's going to be that person that you can tap and use them for that. The next bullet's there. We're talking about appointing particular people. Now, let's go to the chain of command models. And again, it's a very simplistic model. Do you see the one in the sample chain in the picture? Very simple. Trust me. You can go on the internet and you'll get tons. There's tons of books. They're out there. This is just the idea that create a structure, a rank structure, right? And if you look at these, look at the sample of an organization chart, that's a very simplistic one, the number one there. And the number two, they're just different versions. So if you look at the third one there, it's like kind of a circle, a team of teams. That's an interesting one. There was one also that I found I wanted to include, but it was just a, it looked like a molecular bunch of atoms, you know, whirling about each other. And that's a more of a networking style. But, it, you know, at some point, you're going to have leadership. You know, a person that can rally the people, the person that wants to take on the scheduling, that gets everybody together, the person that can give correction. It's just very important. And I think what happens is, because prophetic ministries sometimes in churches are left to do their own thing. And then the I'm going to tell you a story, a couple of them if I could. There was one time we had a prophetic ministry going in their church, and it was really informal. It was almost like an underground movement. And before you know it, it's picked up steam, and it's really the effort is moving along. But yes, there's some mess along the way. I'll never forget, there was one time the pastor wanted to get ahead of it, but he came ahead of it by just through a third person giving me a book. It's like, no, this doesn't. I don't understand. I guess here's the thing. My frame of reference is paramilitary, and if I wasn't doing something that the boss wanted, either I'll get a message direct, do this via email or memo, and if I still wasn't doing it, I'd probably be in the face to face, right? But a lot of people, they have a hard time with that, and they want to do indirect. And you can't do that with this type of ministry, because you've got people that are, we just outlined it, they're desirous, they want it, they're excited. Okay? They're fearing getting shut down. So, you know, it happens out there. There's people, you know, the pastor's trying to, you know, how do I get ahead of this? Because he doesn't want to turn the people away. You don't want to turn them off and shut them down, but yet, how do I govern them? So, there was another one that I was involved with. And again, it just started up. Somebody's idea that took, and we really gathered momentum. Good group. And some things have happened along the way because of governance, because of things, and so I'm sure the pastor found out about it, and then he came and said, okay, it's time to shut down. And it's time to demote some people, and some of them were involved in that. Yeah. And it didn't go well. So this was after, you know, we had a lot of training, and there was a core prophetic group and everything else. So it really picked up some momentum there. But again, it was just one of those things where I don't know all the ins and outs of that, and really didn't want to know. They were just, we had to, my wife and I were involved in that, which is, we had to go. And there's more to that story. I'm just really broad brushing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, what did we do? We stopped attending, right? Based on, we stopped attending that group. So, I'll just say something real quick.
So in that circumstance, we didn't rebel against the pastor and all that stuff. We stopped attending that particular prophetic group. And, you know, you wait and pray and ask the Lord, is this where you want me? Is this not? And he will confirm it, sometimes through prophetic people. But it's all about our heart and being in submission to the Lord and to the leaders that he's placed over us. You know, so it's just wanted to clarify that, too, because it's something, you know, we invested a lot of time and effort, drove lots of miles, and we'll go into that. But we, together, had made the decision, okay, then we'll just, if that's his desire, that's what we'll do. So, yeah.
Let me add a couple more pieces to that. This group, I believe, was gaining in a strength and power, and we were finding a lot of things. We were studying a lot together, and it had a lot of group things. It was months prior to even engaging in this group, before this group was put together. My wife was in a service. You mind me sharing this, dear?
Yeah, go ahead.
And we were singing and clapping, and she leans over and she goes, there's going to be a church split here. And I went, what? But true to, yes, it happened. And I think it was a year down the line, within, that it did happen. And one of the things, too, about this particular group, I had a word for this group, and that was, let's stop what we're doing and go back to the pastor. And I didn't do it because I knew they were not going to follow. And it did, that group had disbanded and splintered. And they, well, I think one or two came, went back, but they, it was something that exploded. So I use this example to, again, if you're hearing me, get out in front of these type of ministries. Don't wait until it picked up traction, momentum. They're being led informally. Then they're getting results, and they're dynamic. And they're going out, even going out on outreaches, right? Now you want to come in, and then you want to try to govern. It's tough. It's different. It's anyway. I hope that helps. I hope that makes sense, because that's how important these things are. So, okay, let me go to wrap it up here, and then we're going to have lunch. So,
let's go back
to do the takeaways. So again, there's a tension between wanting to lead, invite others to church versus wanting to keep things clean. Prophetic ministries can be messy. People are messy. Groups are messy. Prophetic people need to live in a way that inspires confidence and respect. We covered that a lot this morning. Prophetic mentoring, very valuable. Prophetic leaders can be selected based on abilities and attributes by a pastor or other leaders. Prophetic groups are an excellent way to train and nurture the prophetic ministry. If you're not in a group, I really highly strongly suggest that you do. All right, that's the way you're going to stay sharp. You're going to have some peer accountability. You're going to be able to bounce things off each other, train each other, bring good thoughts to each other. Prophetic groups, again, we're talking about the takeaways. Sustaining a growth environment is vital. Eight, there's a need for governance whenever you get in a group of people. It's just going to happen, especially when the groups get larger, and then you're going to have to establish protocols. And then the church can borrow concepts and patterns that work for corporations and the military. Okay.
Can I say just one
thing? I know he only has so much time. So the reason that we encourage recording is a couple of reasons. One, the person can listen to it again. The other one is accountability. You know, so that if there's a word given in the pastor, you know, some people may want to take it to their pastor or whatever, and that's what it's for. So in this training environment, you know, you don't have to do that, but when you're out prophesying to people, something comes up, we always encourage you to have them record it, or you record it and email it to them. Okay? It's about accountability, and it's about, you know, I mean, because our hearts are to bless and to restore and that type of thing, and comfort.
If there's anything in the book that you'd like to discuss or take offline, I'll be available during lunch. I hope that was valuable to you.
Yes.
Again, it was putting forth an idea. It wasn't saying, you do this.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just want to, again, reiterate that was my intention and heart. So, let's...
30 minutes.
30 minutes for lunch.
Before you get up,
right,
don't close your eyes. Oh, you could close your eyes. Got a couple more things to put out before lunch. So I want to say this to the men. Are you all men here?
Nope.
Men, raise your hands, please. If you're a man, raise your hand. All right. We're going to have a men's rally retreat, blow it up, whatever God wants to do, in February, on the 20th day of February 2020. And we're going to have it at the same location as where the women had their explosive retreat. And so we're believing for God to reach out to men throughout the churches. And so we're in the planning stages, but we have a lot of things going on.